Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this morning we have a very beautiful testimony to give unto you this morning. Amen. Do you like testimonies? It's testimony time. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't you help me welcome onto this stage Sister Belinda as she comes to share her testimony with us. Put your hands together and let's welcome her. Amen. Put your hands together. It's a very beautiful testimony. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, my testimony is just to help everyone to understand that obedience is better than sacrifice. I was ill for about close to a month now. I'm sure you would have missed my presence around and stuff like that, but I was admitted to the hospital. They said my blood count was low, my blood pressure was low, everything was low. I was there for about 4 days. They discharged me. I still wasn't feeling well. When I got home, I had like this burning sensation in my hands and in my feet. For about 2 weeks, I slept every night with my feet in a bucket of cold ice water out of the fridge. I would get up every time the water would start to lose the coldness. I got up and I went to the fridge. It was ice. I was using ice to cool the burning in my hands and in my feet. I was sleeping in a sitting position every night for about 2 weeks, and the thoughts that came to my mind when I was going through all of this, at one time the medication was so much that they were giving me is that I'm drinking a whole lot of tablets, and this pain, it just won't go. Sometimes my mother would have to take me back to the hospital. They gave me medication, they gave me injection. Nothing was working for the pain that I was going through. And the only thing that was helping me was cold water. And I said to myself, why am I going through this? But the truth is that I removed myself from under the covering of God when I took a job that would take me away from being in the presence of God on Sundays. I just made a rational decision to just take it without thinking of my responsibilities and everyone that was depending on me on Sundays. I was selfish and I just took it and I went. And as I did that, I had removed myself from under the covering of God. So I had opened myself to whatever came my way. And as I tried another hospital, they did all kind of tests. They test my heart, they test everything they could. Nobody could tell me what was wrong with my feet and my hands. Why is it burning? Why is it that nothing that they can give me can help me? They had to give me medication to sleep. I couldn't sleep. I had to take tablets that would just make me doze off, you know. And it got frustrating to a point. And then I messaged Reverend and I told him, I said, nothing is working for me. I'm trying. I said, I have 2 more tests to do. They were testing me for rheumatoid arthritis and for lupus. So he said to me, go do the test. after you're finished, if nothing is there, I take it from there. So I went, I got the test done. One had to be sent to Trinidad. The other one, the next day I collected it, it said that it was negative. So my mother told me, so you call him now, because what is it? So he said, I should be in church Tuesday. I came to church on Tuesday. I didn't walk around the turn. Sister Judy brought me around. The brothers had to help me to come to sit. Even before Reverend prayed for me, I still was unable to walk on my feet properly. And he prayed for me on Tuesday night. And when he was finished, I was able to walk out of that Aquaba room. I was able to walk to my home. We walked to my home. And I went inside and I rested at night without any medication, anything. And now, I'm still able to walk. And I want to thank God that He showed me that He's Almighty God. And my testimony is to help you to understand that you don't take God for granted. When you have His work to do, you do His work and He will make a way for you. He will provide. Amen. So, thank you again to my church family who also prayed with me. Sister Esther visited me, Carlita visited me, Sister Karen, everybody they called, they checked on me. I had a full support of my church family. And my father, I love you. Thank you. Forgiven to God, because I didn't know where I would have been today. Amen.
Are you excited to be here this morning? Prince, are you excited to be here? You look too dignified to this morning. Wow. It's good to see you all. Let's pray. Whisper a word of prayer to the Lord. Pray that the Lord will speak to you. Lord will minister to you. Pray that you not leave the same as you came. God definitely has a plan for you this morning in His house, in His presence. Pray that you don't leave the same and that His power will touch and affect you before you leave in Jesus' name. Pray. Kebros kabarandas. Lebros keberende me kebres kabarandas. Pray. 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 Quebros, quebrende, mes quebrendes. Lebros, cabarana, bas cabranas. Lebros, quebrende, mes quebrende, me queria, bas cabranas. Quebros, quebrende, mes quebrendes. And there is power, power, wondrous working in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondrous working in the precious blood of the Lamb. One more time. There is power, oh, oh, wondrous working in the blood of the Lamb.
power, power, wondrous working in the precious blood. Oh, for the last time, there is power, 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 wondrous working in the blood. It's power, power, wondrous working in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Father, this morning, we acknowledge the power that comes from God. The Lord, I believe that that power is among us this morning. That power to heal, that power to touch, that power to set free is among us this morning. And I pray that your word will come forth in that same power. That you touch us thereafter. Confirm your words with signs and wonders following. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you for an encounter with you this morning. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Ah, you may be seated, please. Ah. I sense the power of God here this morning. Can you feel it? Or you can't feel it? If you can't feel it, you need a check. You need to be checked. Welcome from America. Wow. You need to feel it. I can feel the power of God here this morning. Are you excited to be here? Yeah. Wonderful. We're looking at the names of God. The names of God. In other words, we're looking at the forms that God manifests himself. Charmaine, are you there? The forms that God manifests himself. And it's very important to know and to understand God in his total nature. So that if or when you need God in any area of your life, you will know it. Because most of the time what happens to us is that we can know God only in one particular area. Most people know God as a judge, right? A judge who is very quick to, you know, give you licks or put you in your place. But God has a different forms and he manifests in different areas. I remember there was a series that used to show on TV. I'm sure it was also here as well. MacGyver. You remember MacGyver? Were you born? Kevin, were you born? Are you sure? I thought you were born just the other day. You're born. MacGyver. There was a guy who, no matter where you put him, he will come out. He will get, he can make things out of nothing. He can make bombs. You'll be there, he can take a bottle and tell you, he will make a bomb just now. He had skills. I mean, you put him in water, he was too wild. It's even like James Bond. James Bond, you don't play with James Bond. If you send a girl to James Bond, you end up, you know, sleeping with the girl. Cry. And will use the girl against you. He will steal the girl's heart. And will take the girl, bring the girl into your compound. And then you will kill the girl, but he, you can't kill him. He has things. His watch can be a bomb. He can pull something. Oh, I like James Bond. You can chase him in his vehicle. He's driving his car. You can chase him. And then you get to a dead end. It's only the river. And then he can drive into the river. And then it turns into a submarine. The car takes you to a submarine. And he goes and he appears somewhere. James Bond is real James Bond. So if you see him with his suit and his tie. And he said, my name is Bond. Mr. Bond. James Bond. 007. No, don't believe him. He has other things. He has other things in store. I tell you. He can take a pen and a pen will record everything. Take pictures. Hey, James Bond. 007. And I always enjoy it when I see him on TV or there's anything showing. I like to watch it because it's exciting. He never dies. James Bond never dies. You know, in a similar way, if James Bond can't die, how can Jesus can die? With Jesus, me can die. It's a sign. You know, so God also shows himself or manifests himself in diverse ways to us. And instead of representing him as James Bond, he's God. And his name is who he is. There's a proverb in Ghana. I don't know what I can say. I don't know how to say it in Creolese, but it's Crucha Mansa. Is it an animal or something? Or it's a person? Crucha Mansa. I think it's a person. It's the name of a person. And this guy, he's naked. You get it? He walks around naked. I don't know whether it's a madman or something. So our forefathers have a proverb. They say that if that guy promises you he'll buy you clothes, you should look at him. Don't just look at him. It means that he himself, he is naked. And he's telling you that he'll buy you new clothes. In other words, such as a man thinketh in his heart, or such as we call somebody, that is the person. If you call somebody fine man, it's because the person is fine. If you call somebody fat man, it's because the person is fat. If you call somebody short man, it's because the person is short. I mean, Ghana is a very nice place. I mean, you can call a short man short man and he doesn't get angry. He's okay. Don't you see that around? Hey, short man, and the person is short and he's okay with it. Where I was born, you can't call somebody that is short, you know. He'll fight with you just now. Yeah. No, you can't call a short man short. No. You get vexed. Hey, he will fight with you. Tall man, fine man. Hey, watch. Short man. Hey. No. Big head. Hey, big teeth. No. No, you can't do that. But here, you know, we you know. This place was called Big Teeth, dancing hall, Big Teeth something. Yeah, and the guy has big teeth. And when you see the guy, hey, big teeth. And he didn't get vexed. He doesn't get vexed. His teeth is big. He doesn't get vexed. Hallelujah. So just as people's names are, you see, we used to have a platform where a few of us were on. And then I had a young lady who I asked her, when people join, when I add people to the group, you give them a name. Registrar General. She's the Register of Birth and Death. Now, I was amazed how she could bring up a name. And then it's just, you see, when you look at the name and you look at the person who she has, you see that it's a correct. I mean, that person behaves exactly like this name. It was very, very fantastic. Yeah. They call somebody granny. Somebody who is not a grandmother. And they call her granny. You see, because they watch her. And they look at her and how she moves around. She moves around like an 80-year-old woman. So she said, this one is called Granny. Say, hey. And for truth, when they compare some pictures before and after, you realize that, aha, it's a real granny. It's fantastic. Yeah. So names are very, very important. And even as I'm standing here, I function in different areas. I'm a pastor. But like how Sister Belinda came to give a testimony, you sometimes people don't understand when people give testimonies. If you were in her shoes. That Tuesday night, she came here in a taxi. She couldn't walk. Did you see her, Job? You helped her here. I said, if she's standing on stage, and she's telling you that this. For some of you, you are sick. You are not getting well. But there's no pastor. You don't have a pastor. You don't have a pastor who you can call and he will tell you, you let them finish what they're doing. We'll take over from there. You don't have anybody like that. You're in this church and you don't even have a pastor. It's true. It is those who have pastors here. Those are the ones who are doing well. It's like somebody without a father. If you don't have a father, you are from day one, you are handicapped. Your decision making is you, yourself, and you. There's no guidance. There's nobody in your life, really. So, like I'm saying, I am here even as a human being. I'm a pastor. I'm a father. I'm a husband. And I'm a man. Yeah, I'm not a woman. I'm not an anti-man. I'm a real man. Yeah, cry. I am strong. Yeah, cry. Oh, cry. I mean, don't even think about that. Yeah, cry. Don't be confused at all. You're confused at all. Yeah. If you call me pastor and you see me as pastor, I'll be a pastor to you. Because there are people who call you names and they don't recognize you. A lot of people call me daddy and all of that. It's just a term. Somebody calls me daddy and then the person argues with me when I speak to him on the phone. I ask myself, it means you are actually even decreasing your length of days on earth. Because you can't argue. If I'm really your father, you can't argue with me. Then it means that you are arguing with your father. And the Bible says you should honor your father rather than argue with him. So that your days will be long. So if you see me as a pastor and you involve me in your life as a pastor, that it's a pastor's presence you get. If you see me as a man, that man, I'll be that man to you. There wouldn't be any relationship. I'll just be that man. You see me as somebody, I'll be somebody to you too. It's the same way with God. If you see God as somebody who lives in heaven, who is far, who doesn't care about you, who doesn't want you to do well, this, if you see it like that, that's exactly how you're going to be. So we are studying, we are taking our time to see God's manifestation in the Bible. And that we also must put ourselves in a place where we can benefit from who God is. Are you listening to me? So the first name we learned is what? It's Jehovah. It's God. It's Elohim, isn't it? Elohim, which means God the creator. So it means that God can and will and shall. There is nothing that God cannot make. He's a creator. He can make anything. So, in your life, is there something? Is it health? What is missing? You don't have a womb. Yeah. You get a new womb. But you must know that he is Elohim. You must believe that if he created the world, he can also... He created a way in the middle of the sea became the one part. The sea became two. The Red Sea, one on the left, one on the right. There was a pathway. What can God not create in your life? What is missing that God cannot bring? I mean, then you don't know the God you are serving. That's why I told a young lady, I said, you let them do whatever they are doing. When they're done, we're going to show them where power lies. And I thank God that he didn't disappoint us. Yeah. What are you going through? God can give you anything you want. Second name is El Shaddai. Almighty God. The double-breasted one. It means God, he got big Bobby. Bobby big. He's double-breasted. I mean, you look at some of these useless girls around. When they see a man, he has some little body, a little muscles, a little, what? Is it spare ribs, you call it? Spare ribs? Pack. Okay, go ahead. Call it pack. I thought it was spare ribs. Calvin, you have ribs or pack? You should light some fire on this one here. Burn some fat. Then even the, you know, when a man has some broad chest, Some women are attracted to the broad chestedness of some. God's chest, the chest of God, his breast, his bosom is so mighty and wide that when you put your head here, you sleep for 200 years. Yeah. Almighty God can provide everything you need. There's nothing God cannot do. Don't depend on a man. If you're going to depend on a man, you are depending on the God that is in the man or on the man. Because God also, if you study anointing, anointing basically is the presence of the Holy Spirit upon a particular individual. Not that person, but the Holy Spirit on that person. So if you see people like that, yes, okay, you have to, you know, be able to recognize them and acknowledge them as such as God's God on that particular individual. But El Shaddai, El Shaddai, the double-breasted one, the God who is more than enough, he can take care of you. You see, you will realize as you are growing, even as a young lady or even as a young man, that those of you who are looking to be okay and be satisfied in life by a particular event, whether it is migration or it is marriage or it is house or car, you realize that after you get what you are thinking about, then you see that there's still emptiness. There was this woman, there was a dangle who met Jesus in John chapter 4, who went to that dangleologic school. He studied dangology. He had a degree in dangology. School of dangolistics. Dangolistics. In John chapter 4. Yeah. The Bible says when Jesus met her at the well, Jesus knew that he had met another of these miserable human beings who are running after things that don't satisfy them. So Jesus asked her, "Where is your husband?" And then she said, "I don't have one." Jesus said, "Of course you don't have one. And even the one that you have, he is not your husband." And then Jesus told her that if you know who you are speaking with, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water that you will thirst no more. The woman thought that Jesus was talking that, you know what, he wouldn't have to come here and fetch water. No, if you see a woman who has had about 5 or 6 husbands, she's definitely looking for something. She's definitely looking for something that she is not getting from a man. And that's all you must know. That even though it's good to marry, you marry, you must marry. Unless God says you can't, you shouldn't marry. That is not the end of your life. Many husbands and wives have become disappointed because the destination was a man or a woman. And then you realize that, oh, this cannot be a destination because this really didn't finish me up. It didn't complete me. You are coming, you understand what I'm talking about. A man of God said this, and I was moved by that. He said that destiny is not a place. It is an adventure. You know that people deceive us that, oh, your destiny. So it's like, we are thinking destiny is a place you get to, and then that's it. He said, no. There's no place. In God, there's nothing like that. In God, destiny is an adventure. It is from one thing to the other. There's no point in God that you say that I have finished, I have arrived, and everything is done. There's no point like that. There's no point like that in God, yo. There's no point. I can't say that, oh, when I came to Guyana, then everything was finished. No, when you came to Guyana, then you have to start a church. Then you have to build a church. Then the church must grow. Then you must have branches. In God, your destiny is an adventure. It's from one event to the other. It never finishes. It never finishes. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, you have to look for your destiny. You have to find your destiny. It's not one thing. Don't let people deceive you with destiny, the meaning of destiny, destiny, this. What do you mean by destiny? It's from, once you're working with God, it's from one exciting adventure to the other. Hallelujah. This morning, my time is already up. We are looking at Jehovah. 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 Did you know that Jehovah is very meaningful? Exodus chapter 6. Verse 1. Jehovah. You see, when these people come around and say, oh, we are Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't know the Bible. There is no Jehovah's Witnesses. It's rather Jesus' Witnesses. the disciples were not witnesses of Jehovah. What did Jehovah do that they should come and be a witness of? It is only Jesus who died and rose again that we are out there telling people that there is life. That's the thing. And that I am here because of him. And I'm a witness to him being real and being alive. There's nothing like Jehovah. What was Jehovah? We don't use Jehovah now to say Jehovah's. No, there's nothing like that. Jehovah has his place. Amen. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 1. We're looking at Jehovah. So the first was Elohim. Second is El Shaddai. Third is Jehovah. Jehovah. Then the Lord said unto Moses. He said, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When someone tells you that, you wait and see what I will do to your enemy for you. You must be shaking. What is he going to do? So you wait and see what I will do to Pharaoh. He says that, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Pharaoh himself is going to drive you away. You wait and see what I will do. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. That's something else also. I am not a spirit. There's a part of the scripture that says God is a spirit. Here he's saying, I am the Lord. The Lord. Because there are so many lords around. He said, I am the. It's a definite article. It means this is the real one. I am the Lord. Verse 3 comes to explain more. He says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of what? God Almighty. Remember when God appeared to Jacob in a dream? God, Bible says Jacob wrestled with an angel. Isn't it? But it wasn't an angel. At the end of the day, that angel said that you are no more Jacob. You shall be called Israel. For as a man or as a prince, you have wrestled with God and you have prevailed. When he was wrestling with an angel, then the person says that you have wrestled with God and you have prevailed. So your name will not be Jacob anymore. You are called Israel. So he has ways. He manifests himself. Abraham and Sarah, they were sitting down one afternoon, saw two guys coming. Abraham called them to, you know, be hospitable to them and give them something to eat and wash their feet. By the time they were leaving, they said, a year from now, Sarah will give birth. Angels. God came and sent angels. And he spoke to them. He said, I have manifested myself to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty. He said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, but I manifested myself to these fathers you have had, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and your great-great-grandfather. They knew me as God Almighty. He said, I showed myself to them as God Almighty, as God who is more than enough. Abraham didn't have a child. He got a child. What do you want? Charming? Oh, get it. You get charming. What do you want ladies and gentlemen, what do you want in God? What do you want in this life that God cannot give it to you? That you have to, you see, you have to migrate and go and live in a country before you can get what you want. You don't know God. I said, you don't know God. That you have to take a particular job before you can get what you're looking for. You don't know God. You are a baby in the Lord. You are a child. You don't know God. It is, you see, the God we serve, he's not linked to something. It is not what you do that makes him God. He is, you are God alone. God is not connected to a job to make you happy. God is not connected to a man to make you satisfied. God is not connected to a vehicle to make you feel comfortable. God is God alone. Jesus told the disciples, he said that even the birds who don't have a land, they don't plow, they don't plant, they don't do anything. But he said, your heavenly Father, he feeds them. He feeds them. He feeds them. How much more you? He said, the lilies of the valley, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed, was not clothed better than the lilies in the valley. What do you think? What are you thinking God cannot do for you? Today you are living with your desires fulfilled. I said you are living the service with your desires met. He said, I showed myself to them as God Almighty. Should I read from my Bible? Okay. Okay, thank you for your help. The power of God is here. I tell you, when we started, I told you that. The power of God is here. It's back? He must be back. But by my name, Jehovah. You see, a young lady was angry with her husband. So I said, why are you angry with him? She said, Reverend, I can't take this thing that he's been doing. I said, what has he been doing? He says, our pressing iron is spoiled. He said, 3 months now. Every morning, 6 o'clock, he knocking the neighbor's door. Please for iron. Like you and the neighbor, you have a shareholding in the neighbor's iron. You see, this is a sign of people who did not know each other well. So then when you enter into marriage, then you begin to encounter the areas that you did not encounter. If he's not taking you to a restaurant now, he'll not take you to a restaurant when he marries you. Right. Yeah. Sometimes you have to come down so that you can understand. You want to marry a lady? The lady should start cooking and let you taste the food. Those of you saying, beloved, you should start cooking. Beloved, with your face, your powder on your face. Let us see whether we will get running stomach or not. I'm going to the toilet. Beloved? You think beloved is just what it's a term on the web, so www.beloved.com. And you are there, say, yeah, beloved. You must start cooking. And bring it to the church. Let me taste it. No, I won't taste it. Let him taste it first before I... So if there's anything, he gets it. Meanwhile. Yeah. You have to go with a friend, good friend, and go and visit him or her. See where they live. It will help you to see Jehovah, Elohim, El Shaddai. It will help you see the person in his totality. You have to find out about the finances. You have to ask. So how come you don't have money? You have to go in there and find out. How come you work? How come you don't have money? Then you begin to learn that, oh, when the money comes, first week, he blows it on chicken. Then you know what you are getting yourself into. And then you know how to, I don't know, attack it, how to fix it. Oh, you say, you know what? But I don't think I have anointing for this one here. But don't be there and then relate on a certain distance. Like you're relating on Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. It's like, you know, Bluetooth. Yeah, you just get the connection from a distance. Bluetooth relationship. Wi-Fi relationship. So you don't know anything about a person. No, you should get the cable and connect it to your laptop. And get to know. God says that, is it your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? If they say they know me, they are lying. He says, they only know me by God Almighty. Which, in fact, was too much even for them. I mean, in their time, God Almighty alone is okay. A second part, you die. You'll be flawed. I mean, it will be too much for you. He says, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. So who is Jehovah? Are you ready? Yes. Good. This is Jehovah. Jehovah means the eternal or self-existing one who keeps covenant. The eternal God who keeps covenant. That's Jehovah. Of course, you will realize as we go on in the Bible that he links the Jehovah
with other words also. So if, let's say, you say he's Jehovah Jireh, it means that when it comes to Jireh, which is provision or supply, he is the eternal God who can keep that agreement to supply you without a plier for 6,000 or 600. You know, he can supply you. You know, there's no bid or there's no tender. No tender board. So when he said, by my name, the eternal God, who keeps covenant, they did not know me. What God is saying is that if you go to, let me give you three scriptures which will bring Abraham, which will bring Isaac up, will bring Jacob up, and then we'll conclude. And then we'll pray. Is that a good idea? So let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. I'll land very soon. Ogo International Airport. EF Korai. Eugene EF Korai, right? I've been corrected. Eugene F. Korai International Airport. We are looking for chapels and cathedrals to be named after us. No airports. Collins Chapel. Collins Cathedral. Yeah. We like things like that. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Two. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee. You see, when Abraham was dying, he was not a great nation. When Abraham was dying, there was nothing like a great nation. It's now that we see that Israel is a great nation. It means that the God, the eternal God who keeps covenant, when he promised them, he did not make the covenant become a reality, because that was not the side he was dealing with them. Should I say it again? God told Abraham, I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. He says, and I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. It means that from out of you, every nation, every country will be blessed. By the time Abraham was dying, Guyana wasn't around. So this thing is not true. It wasn't true for Abraham, because Abraham only knew God Almighty and not Jehovah. Because Jehovah, that side of God, is the God that when he says something, it comes to pass. So he had said something to him, but it didn't come to pass, because it was not a pastor, it was a man he was dealing with. So even though whatever was disturbing him, the healing that he wasn't getting it, because the pastor who has the power of God to pray for him to get the healing, that wasn't the area that the church member was relating with. The church member was relating with the area of a man. Are you getting it? Are you sure you get it? Even though you get it? It's deep though. So, God, in other words, God made a promise to Abraham. The promise, Abraham didn't see it, not because God is a liar, but because the God, the part of God or the nature of God at that time was not a covenant-keeping God. For example, let me use this example. If, let's say, you sleep with a 7-year-old girl, she'll not get pregnant. Because she's not a woman. But if she turns a woman and you sleep with her, she'll get pregnant. It doesn't mean that she can't give birth. Except that the season and the timing you met her wasn't the season of that she could do that or she wanted to do that. In a similar way, God, in dealing with Abraham, gave promises, made him leave his country, even to the same land, right? But he was not that great to occupy the land, really. So that is why the Bible says that God says in Exodus 6 that he did not know the Jehovah. He only knew God Almighty. God made Abraham great. He was rich. Abraham had 318 security bodyguards. How many, who in this world now has 300, even 100 bodyguards? Nobody. Abraham was great and rich, but he did not know the covenant-keeping part of God. You go to Isaac in another verse, Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26, quickly. It's a power service. It's a revelation that's coming out so that you'll be able to know what God is. Genesis 26, verse 3. Bible says, God appeared to Isaac and he said, sojourn or live in this land, and I'll be with thee, and I'll bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So it means that the oath he swear to Abraham, he didn't perform it. So he's telling him, I'll perform it. But Isaac also died without the fulfillment of the complete promise. So you go to Jacob again. Jacob. Are we with Jacob? In Genesis 27 and verse 28. So it's like God Almighty is the name that he appears to you to make a covenant with you. But in fulfilling it, Jehovah has to be there. Yeah, because Jehovah is the part that fulfills the covenant. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down. This is Isaac blessing Jacob before he died. He said, be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow to thee. He only had one son. It was only Esau. So mother's sons. Curse be everyone that curse thee. And blessed be he that blessed thee. What does the next verse say? And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing, Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac that Esau came. You want to look at another one, 28 verse 3. Chapter 28 verse 3. This is Jacob. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people. So this is Jacob's blessing. Yet, all these things did not become a reality. So God Almighty, who walked with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, made covenants or made promises to them. But the fulfillment that needs Jehovah, they did not experience that. So when you come to Exodus chapter 6, you get it. And verse 4. It's Genesis. Exodus chapter 6, verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. Something is becoming real. So the covenant that God entered into with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob, was to settle them on a land that he will show. Is that not what he told Abraham? I'll take you to a land that you don't know of. It was the land of Canaan. Then he says, I will take you there. And then the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. So even though he promised them the land, they lived there without the transport. So he's telling Moses now that as I am taking you from Egypt, now Jehovah has risen. Now Jehovah is going to make it happen. And so the Jehovah aspect of God in this particular instance we are looking at was when the people entered into the land of Canaan. And it happened. If you read the book of Exodus, it goes over Leviticus, everything. You see that even Moses, he couldn't enter. But Joshua took the people right into the land. In fact, the Bible says that there was not a single promise that God made to the people of Israel that never came to pass until they entered into the land. So Jehovah God is the one who actually makes things happen in reality for you and I. May you know God as Jehovah. I said, may you see God as Jehovah. Now, the same word translated Jehovah, right? It is sometimes translated Lord in the Bible. So let me take you to Malachi. I think this one you enjoy it. In Malachi, you enjoy it more. Go to Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3. Wow. It's fantastic. Too heavy. Malachi chapter 3.
We're closing.
Verse 3. He says, he'll send his messenger and said, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Mm-hmm. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. 5. And I'll come near to you to judgment, and I'll be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those who that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not, saith the Lord of hosts. Go to verse 6. He said, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Where are we? Let's go to verse 10. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith. Listen to this. Kevin, are you there? Is it working? Small, small. Too much breeze. The answer is already been answered, Prince. We are analyzing scripture. He says, and prove me now herewith. You can only prove somebody who cannot disappoint you. In other words, God is saying, the side of me that your tithe and your offerings is going to meet, is going to experience, is the part that can be proven for sure. Yeah. He says, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. The word Lord there, if you go into the Hebrew, is the same word used as Jehovah. So it's like Jehovah of hosts or God of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. In other words, God is saying that when you pay tithe, you are actually dealing with his side that will never forsake you, that will never disappoint you, that will never let your seed that you have sown, the tithe you have paid, it will never go waste, because you are dealing with the part that makes covenant come to pass. If you were dealing with Almighty God, then we can say, okay, maybe how he dealt with Abraham, he didn't really become a father of many nations in his lifetime. Maybe it's going to come someday. No, we are not dealing with God Almighty. We are dealing with Jehovah. Jehovah is the eternal God who is what? A keeper of covenant. Oh? That same God here. He says, now that God says, he said, Anita, you give me your Bible. Then you have to look at me who's saying, give me your Bible. So this man who's asking for my Bible, what about if I don't get a Bible back? Because you don't know who you're dealing with. If I tell you now, give me your Bible, I don't think you won't have a problem with it, huh?
No.
Ah, because you know me. Yes, if you meet somebody on the road, he said, give me your Bible. Is a Bible too dear to give to somebody? but if you know the person you're dealing with, then you realize even if you give this person your Bible, if the Bible gets missing, this person can get you another Bible. It makes you comfortably flow in what you have been asked to do. Ladies and gentlemen, the God who wants us to pay tithe is the God who makes covenant. It is the same God who took the people of Israel out of Egypt. And for 40 years, there is no promise that somebody has promised that he will keep it for 40 years. Yeah. PNCR cannot give to us what Branham promised us. It can't. The Branhamites cannot give it to us what Branham himself had won. If Branham was alive, or if he had spent more years, he would have done a lot of things in Guyana. Oh, cry. Totally. You can. Yeah, that's for that one. You have to be a foreigner not to know it. But God is the one who promises you that. He says, I'll do this. And for 40 years, he doesn't just even relax and then 40 years later appear. He takes the people day by day, takes care of them. Generations came and died. 40 years, what he had made a covenant about, at the end of the 40 years, they found themselves in the land that was flowing with milk and honey. God will never disappoint you. He cannot, Jehovah cannot. It is impossible that he disappoint you. It is impossible. It's impossible. Oedipus said something. Bishop Oedipus said something. He said, when they were younger, he married his wife, and then he came, their first child. He came from work one day, and the wife said, she started bleeding. She believes that she's going to miscarry. Oedipus said, it is impossible. Where's my food? He just made a statement. He said, miscarriage, it is impossible. It cannot happen. Give me my food. To another subject. It is case closed. There's nothing to be discussed. The God I serve, he cannot disappoint me. He cannot make this baby come down. It is not true. I don't believe it. Case closed. Give me my food to eat. That is the God that I'm teaching you now. That's the God that I'm exposing to you now. That if you stay true, if you believe in him, there's nothing that will not come to pass. There's nothing that he promised you that cannot come to pass. Don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. Don't be distressed. The God Jehovah that we serve is a God who makes covenants come to pass. I feel like I'm preaching in a convention. Stand to your feet, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him about the promises. Thank him about the things you're expecting. Thank him for the prayers you have prayed. And say, now you know him as God Jehovah, you are going to be relaxed. No crying anymore. No tears anymore. It's going to be excitement. I sense the spirit of joy. Somebody thank God. Thank God that he will never fail. That he's a covenant keeper. That if you want to challenge God, you can challenge God and say, God, I am doing this. If you do this for me, I'll do that. Man, he will do it more than enough. Thank God. Thank God that he's Jehovah to you. He's Jehovah to you. What a blessing to know him as Elohim, to know him as El Shaddai, and to also know him as Jehovah. Kebros kebrende bekeri abasata ya baba. Labro seke berebenderebe. Mayandarama kabras katabara baba. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you, Jesus. You are here this morning. You are not saved. You are not born again. Before we pray for anything, before we really prove God, I want to pray for you. You are not saved. You are not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. While every eye is closed, I want you to think about your life. How far are you from God? If you were to die right now, will you go to heaven or hell? If you are not sure. If you are not sure whether you will go to heaven or hell. And if you are sure that you're going to go to hell, God wants that destiny to change. Pastor, please pray for me. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. You are here like that. I want to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand. Pastor, please pray with me. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to be born again. I know in my heart that I'm far from God. Every eye closed, please. I'm far from God.
I'm far from God. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I don't want to go to hell when I die. Please pray with me. If you're here like that, just lift up your right hand. I'll pray with you. So I can see above your head, above. God bless you. I see one hand there. God bless you. I see another hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lift up your hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to pray for you before we do the second prayer. Come. Come to me in the front. I want to pray for you. Come. Come. Come to Jesus. Come. 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 Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. 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 Oh, clap for them. Clap for them. God bless you. 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 All right, close your eyes with me. Those in front, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me, and I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be my master, my savior, and my Lord. I believe that from today, after this prayer, I am born again. I believe I am different from now. And I believe my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for these ones. Thank you for this bold confession and this bold step. There's nobody who comes and hand over their lives to you that lives to regret it. Jehovah, I call on you. As long as these ones stay with you, I know they will prosper. I know their lives will not be cut short. I know they will not be disappointed. I know that they will not lack. I know the covenant-keeping God will keep them on the right path until the end of their days. I pray for a covering over their lives. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers them. Thank you for the presence of God that overshadows them. Keep these ones on this wonderful journey as they relate and as they fellowship with you. I give you praise. I give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.